Hockey talk. Hockey talk. Hockey talk.
In the movies, they always go out and find a kid who's really good to join the team.
Hey, that's right. We need a ringer.
We need a Canadian.
We've seen Fourier on skates before, so all of the talk is nonsense.
They're dinosaurs. They know how to, survive.
I got to shout out Razor. That donut's for him.
Don't worry. I got Bruins plates. People get out of our way.
Au revoir. Have a good game.
Well, the Bruins had a good game last night. They found a way to get a victory 3-2 in overtime against Ottawa. Let's talk about everything Bruins. We do it each and every Friday at 11:25. Our guy Andrew Razor Raycroft of Nesson and WEEI here with Gretchen Fourier. Razor, good morning.
Morning. I love the new remix. Great job, Fourier.
I forgot all about that. I forgot all about it. Oh, listen, Lace. Hey, you know what,
Razor?
This is par for the course.
Yep, Razor. On the first week we worked together, Fourier was like, "Yeah, I'm going to do a Fourier Music Friday." It happened once.
Wait, I had every bit of intentions to do this. I should have written it on my hand. This is what I do. If Gresh sees me write the stuff on my hands all the time. He's like, "What is that?" I was like, "Well, I got to pick up the dry cleaning. Oh, I got to remember we have practice tonight.
My God,
make sure I pay my bills." Listen to next week. I promise. Hold on, I'm putting okay. What am I doing again? Open for Razor.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, you finally got me. Congratulations.
Hey, at least you followed through at Jock Itch.
I followed through
on one thing, and that was Jock Itch.
Well, that is true. But that was also born out of me being sick or taking a day off or whatever.
No, went on vacation.
Yeah, that's vacation.
That's a passion project of mine, though, Razor. You know that, right?
Jock Itch is a passion project?
Yes, I was trying to get Razor in today.
Best way to scratch
your
balls?
I was trying to get Lou, Razor's in at 11:20.
Yeah.
Lou's coming on at 12.
Uh-huh.
Why can't they both come into the studio at the same time? We'll do both sports, right, Razor?
Nobody called. I could have done that today for you for sure.
Yeah, because you could talk about the Red Sox
and
their issues.
I love hanging out with Lou too.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's what Jock Itch is all about.
I love this. Yeah. Hey, I love hanging out with Lou too. He's never agreed to do any of this. He's only coming on for 10 minutes on the phone.
I called Lou about this.
But in the mind of Fourier, this is the way this goes.
No, I talked to Lou about it, and he doesn't want to drive in. He just never responded to my text.
That's where you go.
I was like, what a jerk. He's going to act like he missed it. Watch. He'd be like, "Oh, I didn't even see you text me." Watch. When he comes in at 12.
When he got the text, he went,
Then
you're going to yell
at him. No.
Oh, boy. Well, I thought that was a pretty gutty performance last night, Razor. The whole back-to-back, up 2-1 in the third. You give up the goal late. You still find a way to win. Was last night one of those, hey, listen, it was ugly in a lot of ways, but just find a way to get the win and get the hell out of there nights last night?
That's exactly what it was. They weren't very good. On top of all that, right? Like the first period, they couldn't connect passes. I don't think they made more than two passes in a row. But that's why this team's great. And that's why they're enjoyable. They should be very likable for everybody who's out there, who's a sports fan. Everyone always talks about they want the team that works hard, puts their head down, are professionals, treat the game with respect. That's what this team does all the time. And I think last night was a great example of that. They have 67 points. They're in the playoffs. They could have mailed that one in. They're all going to the Caribbean in 3 days. Ooh. But they don't. And Brad Marchand leads the way again. This guy is legit in his leadership and his captaincy, and he continues to prove that. So yeah, it was a gutty win. I mean, if they had a loss, now that they've won, I don't think we're ever going to remember this game again. But it just goes to show how much they care and how much they enjoy winning.
So, Razor, the Carolina Hurricanes game, Montgomery came in post game and was talking about pinching, they didn't create the right defensive performance, whatever, pinching, something about pinching, and I thought it was Lindholm, right? I wanted to see if you can explain what the hell he was talking about, because I don't know what I'm looking at. I need you to explain it to me.
Perfect. So yeah, game management, right? Game management.
Come on, teach me something. If he says, "Hey, you didn't pinch," I was like, "What do you mean I didn't pinch?"
So the easiest explanation of pinching is when a defenseman goes into the offensive zone from the blue line, and runs down on a winger, right? The breakout pass and the defensemen are the only ones who can pinch on the ice, essentially. Wingers don't really pinch. Centermen don't pinch. The defensemen pinch into the offensive zone, which means they take a risk. They try and keep the puck in the offensive zone. In a situation the other night against Carolina, the Bruins have done this since Jim Montgomery. He wants the weak side D, right? The defenseman on the opposite side of the ice without the puck. You still with me, Fourier?
I got you. Keep going. I'm writing it down.
Okay, perfect. So Pasternak shoots the puck on goal from the right side of the ice. Lindholm's on the left side of the ice. He's driving down looking for a rebound or a missed net. And they've been doing that a lot. Last season, this season, that's what Montgomery wants. Not necessarily with 3 minutes left in a tie game 2-2 against the Carolina Hurricanes. So Lindholm goes down. He gets caught in no man's land. Unfortunately for him, the rebound goes right to the Carolina defenseman, and he sends it out of the zone right away. So Lindholm's in no man's land. The forwards see that he's in no man's land, don't know what to do. They don't get back in time. And you give up a breakaway with 2.5 minutes left on home ice, which absolutely makes any coach heated.
So we just nerded out real quick. We just massively I went black for a second.
It's like the slot
That's
receiver.
Like you guys talking about linemen or something.
Impressive. I wasn't sure.
The A-gap, right? It's like what's the A-gap?
No, it's like a slot receiver sliding deep into zone coverage and the ball going over the top. It's like you slid behind the defenseman, therefore giving up the one-on-one.
Well, I mean, listen, you hear all these terms, and listen, I'm not a hockey hardo, so I use Razor every Friday to kind of get my fill.
No.
And last week we talked.
A great question.
And we talked about
once you got it
some
out.
Kind of pinching. I love it. The twitches are great.
Once you got it out,
some kind
time
of pinching.
For me to go now.
Razor, you need to come in to help him out.
Because last week we talked about Lindholm, and I'm curious if was that just a massive blunder on him? And for every good thing he does, is he doing three bad things? And or is it just like can he not just get a long line, a bunch of games of being consistent?
No, I think it's he's doing three great things and then one thing every once in a while where he gets a little too aggressive. I wouldn't say it's not a problem. It's just part of his game. At times he jumps, but again, the other thing too, right? It was very obvious that what happened the other night. But they've done that 2,000 times in the last 150 games under Jim Montgomery, and most of the time it works. Either they keep, or at worst, they give up a 2-on-2 out of that. It was just the circumstance of that play. The puck coming off the goalie's pad couldn't have gone to a worse place if you're Hampus Lindholm, and then the players weren't able to react because of where that puck went. If Pasternak misses the net wide, Lindholm's on that puck, he keeps it in, and maybe they score a goal. So, the play is easy to dissect because they lost on it with 2.5 minutes left, but they do that quite often. And 75% of the time, they keep possession.
It feels like this discussion happened in like 2015 or whatever when Claude was here. He doesn't let the D-man pinch, and then they start letting him pinch, and then it's, then it gets behind him, and you get into all of the, you know, hockey talk, how aggressive the defenseman should be, yada, yada. It feels like we went through that for a while. Razor, I did have a Twitcher who did throw this question in. It was something that was on the radar anyway. Is Trent Frederick on his way to being a top six forward, or is that a bit of an overreaction?
I don't think it's an overreaction. I think his trajectory since being healthy scratched in the first game of last season, the first game Jim Montgomery coached as a Boston Bruin, he healthy scratched Trent Frederick, who was established as an NHLer, at least a fourth liner at that point. Since then, it's been a straight 45-degree angle for Trent Frederick on the graph, and he continues to grow his game. I feel like I was talking about it on postgame last night or pregame. The game's slowing down for him, and it's about that time in his career where you're 25, 26, where it either slows down or you slow down just a little bit and you're out of the league. And for Trent, he's getting better. And we saw it again last night. He found some ice. He's got a great shot now. He's moving his feet. And for me, he's just holding on to pucks more. The game's slowing down. He's not just getting rid of it all the time. And he's certainly trending. You know, he's looking like he could be a 40-point, 45-point guy this season. And yeah, the future's bright if you can get him into the top six. Because, again, the good thing with Trent, too, is he can play center. He can play both wings. And he's shown that over his career. So, yeah, he is trending that way. And I think you have to give him a lot of credit for getting his game to this point.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Our guy Andrew Razor Raycroft with us each and every Friday talking hockey with Gresh and Fourier here on WEEI. Again, I know it came up in the Twitch chat and I had pulled up the name Parker Wotherspoon. How much longer am I going to have to watch that guy ping-ding-a-ling around, skating past the puck, over the puck, losing the puck? Good Lord, there were times last night, Razor, where it felt like the Bruins were just trash trying to get it out of their own end, and he was a part of it.
Yes, I think everyone was guilty of that last night.
Definitely.
It was a grind just getting pucks out of the zone, and even when they got into the neutral zone, they couldn't even flip it into the offensive zone at times. It was a grind. It was a slog. Parker's been an interesting addition in that you didn't really see him coming. He has played 30, 40 games in the National Hockey League going into this season. Went right to the minors. Was expected to be a guy who helped out down there and helped a guy like Mason Lowry and won games down there, but he's come up, and another little nerd out for you.
Come on, let's go.
He's a left-handed shot defenseman playing over on the right side a lot.
Wow.
And that's, look at that. That's something. It's difficult at times. There's certain situations where it makes it harder. It's certainly not natural. Most guys play on their proper proper side. But him jumping in and doing that, he's just a little different than a Shattenkirk, than a Grizzlick, than a McAvoy, than a Lindholm, who are puck-moving and get up into the rush. He's a little simpler, more like Derek Forbert, and I think the contrast of that has really helped the Bruins on the back end. He's done a really nice job and made it hard for the Bruins to certainly take him out of the lineup, let alone send him down.
Marshy gets goal 396 last night. It's a big one. Passes Bork, I think it is. We're talking about Brad Marchand being up there with some of the legends in the game of hockey. How can you kind of put into perspective, Razor, from the mind of a former player, the evolution of Brad Marchand?
It's stunning. I don't recall any other guys that came so underhyped, came in as a fourth liner. Just that image of him punching one of the Twins in the face 15 times in the Stanley Cup final, like being a guy that gets under the skin of everybody, being a rat, licking guys. And now all of a sudden you look up and he's a 400 goal scorer. He's going to play 1,000 games with just the Boston Bruins. He's going to get Patrice Bergeron in scoring next season. There isn't a comparison for me, and we've talked a lot about it, but he's going to end up in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And no one, absolutely no one would have predicted that in 2015. Like you just talked about, Gresh, go back to there. No one would have predicted it, and it's just it's a credit to how much he competes and how hard of a worker he is.
All right, so Razor, are you checking out for a week? You have no reason to watch all.
He's
got to
come in now.
No, but all the All-Star whatnot and things like that, you ain't got to pay attention to that, do you?
Nope, not at all. There was talk of me going up to Toronto. It didn't end up being quite worth it for me. So no, I'm working the game tomorrow afternoon. I don't even think I have NHL radio next week. So yeah, I'll be completely checked out. Unfortunately, my kids are in, like, I don't get to go to Puerto Rico or anything like that, but a little staycation, maybe.
Wait, where is the...
Get a silent house. Appreciate that.
Where is the go-to spot for hockey players on the East Coast? Is it direct flight only? You know, you're not doing the Cancun thing, layover. Where would they be going?
Oh, you can get to Cancun. I went to Cancun twice during my career during All-Star break. I know there are some people going to Cancun this week because you can get there direct from Boston. And that's really kind of the only place in Mexico you can go, right? Otherwise, you go Puerto Rico, you go Caribbean, one of the nice islands. If you're, you know, a guy making $10 million, you go to the St. Bart's or something like that.
Oh yeah, St. Martin. You go to one of the. Yeah,
I'm shocked people don't bring up Bermuda.
You want guaranteed weather? And if you want guaranteed weather, you go to Aruba.
Yeah, well, the weather in Bermuda hasn't gotten below like 67 degrees or whatever in like, I don't know, 40 years or something
like
that.
Here's what you do.
It's always nice there.
Here's what you do, Razor. You find the equator. Find that little line on the map. And the closest, whatever the island or place is, that's where you go. That's where the heat, you'll always find the heat if you just follow the, follow the equator. That's it. That's where you'll always get 80 degree temperatures throughout the year. There's a life hack for you.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you're going to have a terrible second half of the season if you go on All-Star break and it rains for 3 days. Like, you have no chance. Your wife's miserable. Yep. If you have kids, they're miserable. Like,
you want a guarantee.
You're going to live it down, and you're going to play horribly the rest of the way. You need a guarantee. I agree.
But, Razor, with your pale Canadian skin, can you deal with long exposures in hot sun like that, where if you're near the equator, you would get completely torched in a massive sunburn?
That is true. I mean, I have a little bit of a darker complexion than maybe some of my Irish folks, but you do think about that. Like, you can't come back and put your gear on with a sunburn. It hurts like hell.
It's really aggravating.
So you do think about it. Like, you lather up. Like, it's not like a midsummer where I get burned, I can deal with it. I thought about it all the time because you didn't want to come back with that.
Yeah, but you also can't be the guy, you know, with a t-shirt and socks on and a big old surf hat, right? That's actually worse. I'll take my chances. I'll take my chances with a burn.
Yeah, so Razor, it sounds like you might have played with one or two guys in the NHL who may have come back with a big sunburn, or did you make that mistake yourself?
No, I never made it myself, but I certainly experienced, you know, it's almost a given that somebody's going to fall asleep / pass out at the pool over their break, and they're going to get burnt. And it's comical. Like, everyone, you do see the guy who's burnt, and everybody sits there and watches him put his equipment on because you know it's miserable. And you'll also rub up against him in practice, right? And like scratch of the whole thing. It's inevitable. Somebody will do it. And we'll be able to see it on TV too, right? Like, we'll see them come back with an extra tan, and you know that guy, he got burnt.
Oh, do you have first game back after the break? Like, are you going to...
Well, these guys... we do. We have it. It must be, like, the Tuesday night back, but these guys all go away because the NHL has, like, they've given it that... So the NHL has given everybody 5 extra days, whether it's before the All-Star break or after the All-Star break. So even Jeremy Swayman and David Pastrnak get to go away for a couple days before the All-Star game, and then half the league will play then, and then half the league will play after, and guys will get a break afterwards. So everybody gets a break, and by the time guys get back from All-Star break, they'll have actually had their vacation for a week. So it won't be as obvious with Bruins this season.
Oh, God, I'd love for you to be pointing that out on the ringside down there. That'd be
That'd
be fantastic.
That's good info, actually. I'll do that.
It actually would. I mean, if something, I'm telling you, that would be, that'd go viral, no question. Our guy, Andrew Raycroft, he's with us each and every Friday here on Gresham Fourier. Razor, thank you, buddy. We appreciate it. Enjoy the downtime, and we'll catch you next week.
Thanks, buddy.
Awesome. Have a weekend.